Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC Los Altos Hills. And many thanks to Maybelline for starting off the big Sunday celebration right. She left us with a lot of different songs, but the most recent of which was Surfer Joe, I believe. And Pollo Del Mar is in the house, and they are going to be playing around 4, so stay tuned for that. I'm Pax Humana. We are going to listen now to Pull of the Moon from the Mermen on Surf's Up, KFJC. Paximana here with you on Big Sunday. We've just heard Spies Who Surf giving us Surf Nazi Clam Bake. Cadillac Angels before that, Lincoln Continental, and the Mermen started us off with Pull of the Moon. Well, we are very fortunate today because Pollo Del Mar is here to play live in our pit, and we've got Phil Dirt here as well, and he's going to be helping me interview Ference, the lead guitarist from Pollo Del Mar. And we also have passes to give away. I'm not sure if we're giving them away this hour, but it's to see Noki Edwards of The Ventures, and Pollo Del Mar is also going to be there. That's this Friday, May 21st, 8 p.m. at the Rickshaw Stop. Deke Dickerson and the Echophonics, Pollo Del Mar, plus the Mini Skirt Mob Go-Go Dancers. But I digress. We have Ference here, and we want to talk to him. And Phil Dirt's going to help me talk to him. But I have a question about Pollo Del Mar, translated as chicken of the sea. Does that mean that you are chicken of the sea, meaning scared of the sea?
Oops.
Check. Hey, there I am. You know, with all that's going on in the Gulf these days, I think that most people should be chicken of the sea. You know, I don't mean to make light of that situation, but that is definitely one interpretation of the name, Pollo Del Mar. We don't surf. I wouldn't say I'm afraid of the sea, but the water is definitely a lot colder here in California than it was in Florida, where I grew up, and you might actually go in it. So
you can't really surf in Florida, can you?
Oh, there's plenty of surf.
Oh, really? Okay. See how much I know.
Not
I just,
well.
let's see. So I wanted to know when you formed as a band.
About 16 years ago.
Okay, so you have some staying power.
Yeah, we've been at it a long time.
It's great.
And I think our first stop in the pit was about 15 years ago, and I sent Phil Dirt a little cassette of us that we were so proud of, and he wrote back very nicely. And I believe it was even in the days before email, I got a letter from him saying, come on down to the station, and it was huge. So KFJC has always been a big part of our career.
Teleport.
That's right. Still remembers it.
Yeah, that's the song that hooked me on that cassette was Teleport. Was that called Teleport 63 at that time? I think.
Yeah.
Like
that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was way cool.
Anyway.
Who else is here to play today? We've got you, and who are the other members of the band?
On the drums, Jeremy Rexford.
Okay.
On the bass.
Yay, Jeremy!
Bass, Jeff Turner, and been with me from the beginning, John O. Jones, on guitar. Jeremy's been in the band about, I think, 11 years now, and Jeff's been in the band 14 years.
Okay, so you're the original,
well,
right?
John O. and I, John O. and I started it together.
Okay. And what made you start?
What made us start?
Yes. How did you come to be?
Boy, that's a long time ago. Jono and I were friends. Our wives were friends before they were our wives, and I just remember having a conversation with Jono one day, and we both talked about how much we love surf music, and he had played in a surf music band in New Mexico, and I had played some surf in Florida before I moved out here, and so even we're already buddies, and we just started playing, and then we filled out the band with some other guys.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So you're doing what a lot of people dream of doing.
Really?
Well I do. No.
You should sit in the van after, a week or so.
No, I'm sure it's not all glamorous.
Oh, no, it's not all glamorous, but it has its moments, and we love to play, and that's what it's all about. Anytime you're actually playing, there's no problems at all.
That's great. Let's see. What else should I ask him? There's tons of stuff to ask you, and I can't think of...
Well, it'll come to your mind. It always does. Just have a conversation that always works best. I haven't seen you guys in almost a year, I guess, probably.
Well, you're...
Maybe
you're,
more.
You're in your down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
In Santa Cruz.
My fault, not yours.
No, it's nice to see you. It's funny to be back here, because the last time we were on mic together here was... Well, maybe I guess when the Surf Coasters came through town, but we haven't done an interview like this until it was when you announced your retirement.
Yeah.
And I announced the big going away party down at the Brookdale Lodge, which was a...
Yeah. That was amazing. Not only is it a grand memory, but I really appreciate it a lot. Thank you
for putting that
together.
A heck of a party.
Yeah. Bands from all over the place.
I'd say hell of a, but you can't say hell of a on the radio.
No.
So it was a heck of a good party.
But you can say it was gaboon good or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you been up to? How busy is Poyo? Are you writing new material?
Yeah, we're always working on new stuff, and it's been difficult because we're mired with the usual mundane family life and jobs and work and that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm optimistic that we'll have a new album out at some point. We haven't slowed down playing live at all, and right after your going away party, we went to Japan. And then last year we got to go to Europe again and play the Surfer Joe Festival, which was spectacular, fun. And we did a tour of Texas in there, and you know, and all of our usual gigs. So we've continued playing live quite a bit.
You want to talk for a minute about getting together with the Surf Coasters and how did that actually come to be? Because it's your fault that they've come to the U.S. a couple of times.
Well, I would say that's largely incorrect. I would say it's your fault because, you know, when I was tuning in, you always used to play Dreams. And, like, you know, it's one of those things where you just keep hearing a song every week. Like, okay, I get it. This is a great song. And so in 2001 or so, maybe 2002, I decided to go to Japan. I'd always wanted to go there. And I went with a couple of buddies. And one of the things we did on our sightseeing was to go to a Surf Coaster show. And it was there that I introduced myself to the band and to the manager. And they were very excited to, you know, I told them I would like to set up some shows in America. And they just thought that was, they'd wanted to do that, but they had no idea how to do it. And so we kept in contact. And then we did the first short tour, which was just like the Bay Area and Fresno. And they had a fantastic time. That was six or seven shows in 5 days. And then they came over again the following year, and we did 3 weeks all the way from San Diego, Las Vegas, Southern California, all the way up to Seattle and Vancouver. And it was just the end of the world for them. They had a fantastic time. And it was on that trip that I told the manager that Poyo Del Mar would like to go to Japan. And so he agreed. And he set up a short tour for us, and you know, which was just absolutely mind-blowing to be over there and driving around the van, and you know, there's Mount Fuji and there's Tokyo, and you know, it was hard not to be overwhelmed and completely exhausted, and we had a great time.
Well, one of the things that I've always admired about you is that you go out of your way to help other surf bands. Help them get gigs, help them whatever, but pull things together like that. And that's part of what I think has made surf music able to survive, is that there are a few guys like you that do that. So,
yeah, people have asked about that. It's like, well, how do you hook up with the surf coasters? But, you know, whatever other bands that we've played with, I would say 98% of the people I've met in the surf music world have been really great people, and they've stayed at my house, and we've had bands from Japan and Germany and lots of German bands, Belgium, and you know, just stay at the house, and you know, they're just great people. They're not just surf musicians. They're really interesting, nice people, and they're happy to reciprocate and you know, set up shows. And luckily we've been able to arrange tours and, you know, go see them. I guess it's just, it comes down to that little bit of extra effort that I'm willing to put out. Because I really don't think that what I do is that spectacular. How hard is it to invite a band to stay on your couch?
But that's exactly the nature of giving, isn't it? I mean, if you do it simply because you can and it's good, not for any other reason. And often, I think people that make a difference have no idea about the significance of what they're doing, because that's just doesn't play into it. And I like that about you. So
thank you very much. I mean, I know lots of people. For me, it all comes down, like for instance, the Surf Coaster's favorite place to play in the world, I mean, outside of some huge stadium or something, if they're doing that, is the Blank Club in San Jose.
Yeah.
And you ask them, what's the best place? The Vine Club. And it's because it's like ground zero for for your support of the band early on, and KFJC's co-presents with the band every time they've been here, and it's always the best turnout for them, even if it's on a Sunday night. And so you know, they're happy, we're happy, everybody's happy, and
it's a big party.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, you said that it's easy to have them stay on your couch, but you have a good wife, right? Because she's very nice to let them come stay on your couch.
She's a musician.
Okay, well, yeah, has to be, right?
Well, you know,
she loves it or something.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And the other night, I don't know if she's listening. I was just, but we were driving in the car, and I said, you know, I know now Taka. Oh, well, we'll get to this in a second. But Frankie and the Pool Boys is going to do a little tour this summer, but a friend, the drummer from the Surf Coasters, now Takasaki, is going to be coming in August, and of course he's staying in our house. And what's going on in Southern California at almost the same time is the Surf Guitar 101 convention, and so there's some people coming in from around the world, including Lorenzo Valdombrini and his lovely wife Nikki, who are in the band the Wadadley Riders. And so I was like, say, Karen, how would you feel if these nutty Italians who live in Antigua would come over and stay at the same time? And she's like, well, sure, why not? You know, so, yeah, you just have to roll with it. But so we're going to have four guests. And I'm sure that what's going to come out of that is there's going to be this meeting of a representative of the Surf Coasters and a representative of Surfer Joe. Lorenzo runs Surfer Joe in Italy, which is a huge festival we played last year. And I'll just bet that the Surf Coasters play in Italy next year for Surf Joe. Maybe
and that'll probably get me there.
Well, I tell you, you know,
yeah, good reason.
We just talk about Surfer Joe for a second. Is the place we played last year, and now it's moved to a different location, which is actually more convenient. But last year, we played at a restaurant with a huge outdoor patio that the stage was right outside on a cliff that goes straight down into the Mediterranean, and the sunset to the west and the moonrise, and it was just incredible. And we went on at 3:00 in the morning, and the party was still going on. And then we played a second set the next night, thankfully a little bit earlier at 8:00. But it's just spectacular. And Lorenzo he is right now, in my mind, the number one guy in the world for surf music promotion. And plus, he's a great guy. And his band, the Wadadley Riders, is coming in August. And we've got a couple of Bay Area shows set up with them, so cool. Including one in Santa Cruz. If you know anybody who lives in Santa Cruz with nothing to do on a Tuesday night.
No, I don't know anybody in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else?
Oh, there's plenty.
Plenty. Tell us more. Tell us everything about you.
Okay. No, I do want to plug this little tour. 2 years ago, I made some free time from the Pollo to put together a project that was more trad-oriented surf. As you know, Pollo's pretty progressive-sounding. I wanted to do an album that was more stripped down, and I did it with some buddies and just had a lot of fun. And it's called Frankie and the Pool Boys. And it was pretty well-received. It got, you know, some nice reviews. But Jeff Hansen, Big Tukey Dude from the Surf Guitar 101 convention, asked me if Frankie could play live this year. And I never turned down a gig, but I didn't have a band, so I started putting together some guys. But the guy who I really wanted to play drums on the album, the drums were played by Dusty Watson, and I was unsure to his availability. I probably would have liked to have him play, but as it turned out, now Taka wanted to come to America, and I said, "Well, why not? You know, he's probably every bit as good as Dusty, and he's going to have the best time of his life."
Yeah.
So we've got 7 shows set up. We're going to start out in the Bay Area. We're going to go down to Fresno with the Neptunes, Las Vegas, San Diego, Orange County, and then we're going to come back up here for a San Francisco show.
Great.
In August, first week of August. And, you know, I don't want to press you guys, but I really like to do a live mic if we can fit it in sometime.
Definitely. No problem.
Okay.
When is it?
It's going to be the first week of August.
Okay. That sounds good.
We'll work it out. Okay. Maybe like on a Tuesday or Wednesday or something.
Good. Yeah.
Good. It's a done deal, see?
Yes.
See how easy it is? No wonder he says it's not hard.
Well, I do. I don't want to embarrass you guys on the radio. It's like I'll pull out this tape of this.
No, you don't understand. That's how you make it happen. When we did the Louie Marathon in '83, and somebody down here knew Jack Ely and called him up in Portland, and he called in on the telephone, and he was talking about, boy, that sounds really great. I wish I was there. And I said, airplanes fly all the time.
Yeah.
Just put him on the spot, and he said, okay, I'll be there in the morning. And he came down.
That's all.
And then played with Richard Berry.
Wow.
I'm just curious. This is sort of unrelated, but when you went to Japan, how were the fans there? Right? How would you compare the
Short.
Fans? We're okay. Other than okay, well, their physical appearance.
Here's the surf coasters have a very passionate following in Japan, and so the fans, we played all over Japan. I mean, not all over. I mean, we didn't go to the north or the south, but we're kind of in the middle. We didn't just stay in Tokyo. And they have a group of fans that follow them to every single show. And so by the second or third show, they were pretty familiar to us. And of course, once it got to Tokyo and we played in the Tokyo clubs, it was packed, and that's where their main fan base was.
Yeah.
And I have big surf coasters news too.
But, oh gosh!
Spill it.
Well, right now they're working on a greatest hits package, but they're re-recording all the songs because they don't have the rights to any of them because they're on like 20 different labels, so they want this song and this song, so they're going to re-record them for an album. But they are playing some shows, and I noticed their website had been completely overhauled, so that's an interesting sign, because why would you bother overhauling your website unless the band was going to continue? So
yeah.
I think they're finding a good space, you know, in everybody's life there. Of course, they're going through the same thing we are with. They've got kids and jobs. And
well, Shigeo is, I mean, he's a professional guitar player. I mean, he tours with bands and things as a paid axeman of extraordinary talent.
He tours with Puffy AmiYumi, but they don't play that many shows. So he does have a lot of downtime, but he is on 24-hour call. He really, they pay him a salary, and he has to show up if it's you know, a few minutes. So,
yeah, he's an amazing guitar player.
He is.
When he decided to actually play all the notes in Flight of the Bumblebee, oh my God!
You remember on the first tour he was playing kind of the Venture style, just dragging, and then the second tour I was like, and I even sent you that track early. I like, you have to hear this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was stunning, and when they played that thing at the Blank. I mean, the stage was lined right up against the stage with open mouths, just like that. Open mouths, just staring. Yeah. Just these fingers just moving effortlessly, and he's not even looking at the neck.
Of course not.
And it's every damn note. It's just amazing. The other thing that's amazing is when he does the Malaguena run from Miserlou, and he's staring off into space, and every other line is over and under the neck, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do that without missing?
Yeah, practice.
Okay, I keep getting back to your family. So you said you have kids?
Yeah.
So how old are they?
16 and 14.
So do they play guitar too? Are they like surf wannabes?
Can't stand it.
Oh my goodness, what a waste.
My son played drums for a while, and I was like, oh, please keep with it. But he gave it up for sports this year. But the other day he was kind of down there pounding on him, and it sounded really great. So I hope he comes back to it. And my daughter just doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But that's okay, because she had her prom last night.
It's kind of too much like mom and dad. It might come later.
Yeah, yeah. Although I understand Mel Waldorf and his six-year-old daughter can do a little duet on his two-neck Maserite. So I'd like to see that.
How is Mel? I haven't seen him in quite a while.
He's doing fine. I saw him this morning, and they had a gig in Alameda on Thursday night, you know, Meshuggah Beach Party. Yesterday we recorded 9 songs. They're trying to get an album out in time for December? Passover? I'm sorry. My wife's Jewish. I'm not good with these things.
Hanukkah?
Hanukkah. The Hanukkah. So we recorded a new version of Oh Hanukkah yesterday. And 9 other songs. So, so they're looking to have a new album out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the surf scene kind of carries on. I think it's mostly led by the musicians who are the true believers, certainly not by the clubs, and certainly, you know, I mean, fans come and go, you know, we kind of lost our voice on the radio, which was a big hit. It was nice to have a solid 2 hours of surf music every week on the radio, especially on that Saturday night slot.
Yeah, well, that was it was a rather perfect slot.
I understand 25 years is plenty of time, and your life is plenty interesting. So I'm just saying, and I know everybody else is saying it, and we miss you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I try to put some surf in my show too, but I just sandwich it in. It's nothing like you.
Well, so. Well, you know, when people could look forward to it, and you know, and back in the day, people used to pass around cassettes of the show, and now even now, because I've got probably 100 shows or so taped on cassette, and people are asking me for digital files of those shows. And
yeah, the first time I heard that was going on, I was rather stunned. Yeah. It just seemed like, are you kidding me? You know, but I found out because I got a record sent to me by a band in Moscow, who had through 5 or 6 different people, a big long chain, been sent an air check on my show.
Isn't that something?
And that's how that happened. It's like, okay, you know.
That's great.
It's you know, on the one hand, I really appreciate being able to have that kind of an impact, and on the other hand, I'm just a guy that likes surf music and do what I can. That's it.
That's what we do. You know, at some point I'm gonna do something else, but I don't know I can't figure out what that is right now.
Yeah, well, that's part of one of the reasons why I stopped doing the show was there were enough other things that had come along starting to take time away, and it was pretty soon going to be every other show. I wouldn't be there anyway, and you know, the speeders and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Just did it.
The bunnies and the speeders.
And the raccoons.
And the raccoons.
Did I tell you I rescued three baby raccoons last year?
Wow.
Oh, man. That was just the coolest thing ever. The mother had them in our garage underneath the heater. There's a box it sits on, totally sealed almost. A little skinny space where she could get in. And she got picked off by a coyote or something. She didn't come back. And for 2 days, they were crying. And then I knew she wasn't coming back, and I had to get in there. And I went and got some raccoon formula and started tearing off the side panels that the heater sat on. I mean, there was a chisel hammering away. And they're crying on the inside. They've been doing that for 2 days. And all of a sudden, the crying doesn't sound echoey like it did. And I looked down, and he's sitting right here next to me. Looking up almost to say, what are you doing? You
know? Feed me.
Yeah. And I just picked him up, put him in a box, and his two siblings came right behind him and picked him up and put him in the box, and that's how they got captured.
Sweet.
And then, you know, you grab them by the nape of the neck, turn them upside down, and shove a bottle in their face, and they hold the bottle with their feet, you know? And
just like a baby.
Just like exactly like a baby. And they're extremely smart and very, very dexterous. It was just a totally amazing thing. They bonded. I was their mother for about 8 weeks.
Wow, 8 weeks.
Yeah, it was a long time. They were inside. It was more than that, actually, because they were inside the house for 6 weeks, and then they were outside for about 6. So
did you have to teach them how to trash garbage cans and that sort of thing?
No, but I taught them how to climb trees and how to root around for food outside and that kind of stuff. And little by little, they were getting more and more independent anyway. But my wife wouldn't go anywhere near them other than to feed them if I wasn't there. But you don't want them to be comfortable with people.
Right.
But one rescuer with raccoons is okay. They tend to, they just bond to the one. I'd walk in the house and they'd come running over and climb up my pant leg and sit on my shoulder, you know, sit behind you and their little hands around grabbing the side of your head. And so it's totally the most amazing thing.
Little claws digging into your
skin. I got scratched once or twice, but you know there was no vicious biting or any of that kind of stuff. Cause I was their mother; I was the source of their food and their warmth and their safety. I gave them their baths and all that stuff, so they had their shots and everything. It was perfectly safe. I was supervised by a rescue person. We're going to do that every year now. So,
can you spin some raccoon music?
Raccoon.
Yeah, actually, in the library is the Ultras doing the Rocky and Bullwinkle theme from Down in the Pit. So.
I remember that. What a great band.
Yeah, they were incredible.
Yeah.
They were amazing. San Francisco band. So, but Poil, is there anything else you'd like?
Yeah, well, of course, the big thing, the next Poil big deal is next Friday night, and this is a KFJC co-present, and Poil Omar is very pleased to be opening for, Deke Dickerson, and, of course, the headliner is Noki Edwards. And we had an opportunity to play with Noki when we were in Japan, and he is an absolute gentleman and a heck of a guitar player. I think that goes without saying. And he hasn't lost his chops. He is an old guy.
Yeah.
And I would not miss him. I would not miss him because I wouldn't miss him. But he's being backed up by a band that Deke put together called Ventures Mania, and all-star Southern California band, and they play the Ventures like it's 1965. So the first set they're going to do is, I think, is live in Japan, like something basically live in Japan, 1965.
Oh, that should be stellar.
Yeah. And then the second set, they're going to do Noki's more recent work and his finger picking and his Nashville style and that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's a country guy at heart.
Yes, he is. Always has been. It's kind of he's always been cast as the surf guy, but he's been a session player in Nashville forever. So,
yeah. In fact, the Ventures will tell you straight out, they're not a surf band. They about half of what they recorded is surf, and they're very good at it.
Yeah.
But that's really not who they are or what they are per se. And
yeah. But I just want to say personally, and I think on behalf of Poi Omar, how inspired we are by the Ventures always.
I mean, absolutely.
The fact that they weren't technically a surf band, and especially in their choice of covers, and they're just doing topical songs of the day, and that's what we try to do, whatever, you know.
Well, they and the Fireballs were the lineup model for all the surf bands. I mean, there's no question about the lineage and the influence and all the rest of that. The two guitars, bass, and drums, primary thing. They certainly defined what came after.
Pretty good legacy, I'd say.
I'd say,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And we do have passes to give to that show, so stay tuned.
Wait, well, you want to do it after the Poi set?
Yes.
On the immediate future, Poi is going to be playing a set in the pit over there. Keep glancing over, seeing how the progress with the miking is going. But we'll be on soon enough. We're going to be playing for you today, and please come to the show next Friday night. Don't miss it.
Yes. Do you have other stories to tell us?
I was born in a hospital because I wanted to be near my mother.
I don't know. You know, what kind of stories? It's just been fun. I mean, you know, it's a funny thing after playing as many shows we have. It's like there's little highlights here and there and the funny things that stick out. And, you know, for me, it's like I'll always remember the goose in the parking lot outside of the Mexican restaurant in Los Angeles just because it was so odd. You know, I think it was the fourth or fifth time we'd played there over the years. But for some reason, there was a goose in the parking lot. Uh-huh. Just hanging out. And that's what I remember. I remember the other thing about that is the next morning we were on our way to Las Vegas, and we got a phone call from the manager of the club. And they had told us we could have free drinks the night before. And so it said something like, we had 27 shots of tequila, you know? And I was thinking, and we were like, God, there's only four of us, 27 shots? And we started adding them up, and, you know, so I remember that. Maybe that's why I don't remember the rest of the gig. It was a fun show, but
the goose wasn't mean. Geese can be pretty mean.
You know, I don't know why is this goose in the middle of the? We took a picture of it. You know, I don't know, something.
So okay, back to the Japanese fans. So how do you compare them to the American fans?
Well, the American fans are a lot taller.
Okay, so it's just physical. It all is just a physical thing. They're not wilder or
no,
like
you
nobody,
know, they're
everybody
very,
has
they're
the
very,
same.
They're very polite. They're definitely will stand up and move around more. I mean, you know, it's just a thing in America. It's an older crowd in America. In Japan, they seem to be more younger, although you do tend to get more of the people who are around for the first wave of surf music there too. But it does appeal to a younger crowd. And I would say my experience, you know, with surf music in Japan is limited to seeing the surf coasters. The surf coasters are younger. They're not young. They're in their late 30s. Mm-hmm. And Shigeo may even be 40 now. But they do, you know, the crowd is definitely younger there than here, where it's mostly people who remember the music from the first time around.
Right.
Oh, when over there, did you get a chance to meet any of the old Aleki guys? Any of them come up to you or anything?
The first time I was there with Shigemi,
We met one of the guys from the Golden Cups, the guitarist from the Golden Cups, and he was an amazing guitar player, but he's like the only guy who I've met. You know, I know the Surf Coasters work with Yuzo Kayama, and actually they're going to be doing a live radio show, and I have the URL for it, but I can't figure out how to make the music come through. But I want to hear it. They're going to be backing him up on a live radio show in a couple weeks.
Would you send me that link?
I will.
Thank you.
I will. In the U.S. mail.
No, in the email.
Email? What's that?
No, it's back to snail mail.
Yeah. What else do I know? I don't know. So, you know, to answer your question, no, not really. We did an interview with a guy who runs the Alecki magazine over there, and it was pretty exciting to see us in the same magazine as those heroes. And
Alecki is a real interesting thing because certainly there's a lot of surf influence and there's a lot of surf songs and so forth, but you can hear much more of the Ventures per se, you know, the 1960-61 Ventures in what they're doing than just surf. And but because there's so much influence from native Japanese music, if you will, in what they do, it can be really interesting.
Yeah, especially, you know, Alecki's kind of, I think it's getting a lot more interest now as people like start sharing files and this and that, but I've certainly heard stuff that's just absolutely blown my mind, especially something like the middle period Takeshi Taruchi, where it's just insane. It's like psychedelic Japanese influenced surf music, and it's just, you know, some of the songs are 8 minutes long and they're absolutely epic. They're it's like watching Rashomon or something.
Yeah.
I'm getting an appreciation for it that I never had, because the stuff I was exposed to was the early stuff, which to me is a little bit too much of a knockoff and not original enough. But it did grow and progress, and it went underground, and I encourage everybody out there to explore it. And, you know, a great place to find out about that is on surfguitar101.com. And there's very lively discussions about Alecki. And if you're looking to pick up some knowledge, that's the place to go. And I want to say hey to everybody who's listening. And I think they're in the chat room right now. They're saying, player guitar is such a dumb... Anyway, I'm not there. I don't know. So I'm just curious if they're not sound checking in the next room because we're in here talking, what's
question.
Going on?
I'm not
well,
sure.
I still see cables being plugged.
Okay, cables are still getting plugged. Yeah. Okay, well, patience.
He's studying the kick drum.
Yeah.
So what does this mean? Because I'm ignorant, what does the third wave mean? You're you're a third wave surf band.
It's an artificial boundary.
It's an artificial boundary. You know, the current thought is that there is no, there, you know, I don't know how to think of it. Phil had a great way of describing what waves mean. But basically, when you say third wave, you're talking about anything that happened after Quentin Tarantino released Pulp Fiction, which had a huge influence on the popularity of surf music. And you can say surf music never went away. It was always there. But it went away. It had... people were interested in it, and then it had a huge resurgence.
Yeah, the delineation generally is time-based, as opposed, except for the third wave. In that, the first wave was obviously kind of the beginning, you know, the 60s, the early to mid-60s. And the second wave was John and the Knight Riders and Surf Raiders and Halibuts that kicked off the resurgence, which was mostly but not actually completely traditional. There were some bands that you would say were really part of the third wave. They were just 1980 Insect Surfers, for instance. But the third wave is kind of the group of bands that started to allow what the second wave mostly didn't, and that was the re-evolution of the music. Because during the 60s, it evolved every year. Mm-hmm. It was dramatically different at the end than it was at the beginning. And but during the 80s, surf bands, for the most part, were kind of like museum pieces. They might have been a little more aggressive, but everything they wrote and how they arranged was very much like they, in their own mind, formulated 60s surf music sounded like. And what San Francisco did to change that with the Ultras and the Merman and Pollo Del Mar and so forth was to start to bring the music back to life by allowing it to evolve and become different things. The earliest of those, I think, was Dave Arntzen with the Insect Surfers. But certainly that's how I think about it. Third wave just means the continuing evolution, and the second wave was kind of let's keep it at least up front.
Yeah.
And not really evolving. So
that sounds reasonable.
That's my take.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay.
It's no more valid than anybody else's take. Because there's no science to any of this stuff. It's just about looking at it and letting it talk to you.
There's endless discussions about this if you really care.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Written down or something?
Yeah. There were for a while. There were the trad wars.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. Well, surfguitar101.com again. There's a lot of very knowledgeable people there. There's a lot of people who have opinions, and they're not necessarily the same people.
isn't that always the truth?
Yeah, but that's definitely, if you have an interest in surf music and you're not a member of that forum, you really ought to be, because it's a great place to find out about gigs and recordings, and you know, and it really is the worldwide meeting place for it. There's a couple other forums. There's a forum in Germany, which is all in German. And hi, Maybelline. but, you know, surfguitar101.com is the place.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
And, of course, Reverb Central.
Oh, Reverb Central.
ReverbCentral.com.
Yes.
Well, Reverb Central is your place for every month. You write an in-depth track-by-track review, and you've continued to do that for I don't know how long. But
it's been on the web since 1994,
yeah.
And the monthly tally is between 40 and 50 new reviews.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of that's a lot of tracks. That's just the releases, but then it's a track-by-track review, yeah, too. So luckily just the instrumental cuts, not the vocal cuts. So.
And about 99.9% of the time, that's true.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I get tempted because I just can't resist. Nobody's a purist, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I would like to hear some good surf vocals. You don't hear too much, you know, it's not the Beach Boys variety that I'd want to hear. But
no, Radio Birdman, Lois Steven Dano, you know?
Yeah. That's funny. It reminds me, I had this memory, and now I'm going to have a senior moment. Not exactly remember which was the last song you played on your last show.
Oh, the Surf Raiders, Surf Busters.
It was a vocal.
Yeah.
And it was just about the lamest surface. No, yeah. With all due respect to Bob Daly for you.
I love that song.
For you to end a 25-year career on the radio with a joke surf vocal.
Absolutely.
That's perfect. That's great.
Well, you know, how else do you do it? Just what exclamation point do you put on it?
Well said. Well said.
You kind of have to break it.
Picked up the vinyl and smashed it.
Yeah, almost.
Well, okay. Well, to sum up, because I should go in a room and set up my guitar and all
that.
Yeah,
Jeremy's sitting at his kit now.
Okay.
That's a sign
start.
Of some sort.
Yeah. So here's what's going on. I'm just going to sum up today. Noki Edwards show next Friday.
Good.
Don't miss it. Surf Guitar 101 convention is in Orange County. It's worth the drive. They're going to have about 11 bands from all around the world. Space Rangers from Germany, Wadadley Riders from Antigua. Frankie and the Pool Boys, which is my little side project band. Oh, my God. Did you know
that
the Space Cossacks will be there?
Oh, wow.
Ah!
I'm sure you knew that.
No.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yvonne has gotten the band back together after 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And they've played a bunch of shows on the East Coast and in Midwest. And he'll be bringing the show out. Oh, this is great. This is excellent. I'm so glad this whole thing. I had more stuff to say. So he's going to be playing down in Orange County. I think it's the 7th. And then we're bringing up to the Hotel Utah in San Francisco. It's going to be Frankie and the Pool Boys. The headliners are going to be the Space Cossacks reunion. I think it's probably the last show of their reunion tour. And the Atomic Mosquitoes from Washington, D.C. are going to be
they're really
too.
Cool, too.
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Yeah. We're really
crap.
Looking. Yeah.
Mm. That might get me out of Felton.
You're gonna leave home for that one?
Yeah, might even want to record that.
Yeah, that ought to be a spectacular show.
Wow.
We played with the Space Cossacks back in 99. And just, you know, incredible band, incredible songs. And really, I would probably say that the Space Cossacks were one of
perhaps the most important band of that time. And in terms like when people were still saying, oh, surf musicians are, you know, mediocre or whatever, they were absolutely playing at the top of the game and as good as any band in the world, not just a, you know, surfer.
Does that mean Yvonne is putting the Madeira under?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, they're playing, they played shows last weekend, and I know they're getting new songs together for another new record. But the Space Cossacks is something he wanted to do, and you know, a lot of people, I mean, most people haven't, they were gone before most people had the chance to see him. They did a couple California tours and played around. I mean, they played around a fair amount, but I think they did about 100 shows in their career. So it's just another great chance not to you don't want to miss.
And you're going to come here live in our pit in August?
Yeah, I'll come
in
here.
In the beginning of August or something?
You're going to be here?
I don't know. I'll try to be. At least.
All right.
What day?
Well, I don't know. It'll probably be a Tuesday or Wednesday. We're playing Tuesday, August 3rd in Santa Cruz. Does that sound right? And then the next night we're in Fresno. So we could probably do it on the 2nd or the 3rd. Okay. So we'll see if we can work it out. It's a Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know. If
you can't do it later that week, huh? I'm taking my son to college. That's the only reason I don't plan it around me, but I'd love to be.
Yeah, no, we're going to be, we're going Fresno, Las Vegas, San Diego, okay. So we're going to be gone.
Tight schedule.
Very. Yeah.
Somebody'll be here though.
So. Okay. We'll work it out.
August 1st or so.
Cool.
Coolness?
Well, you better go let them hear what you sound like so they can set levels and do all that stuff.
Look, there's little children in here. Hello.
Hi.
Alecki fans.
Hello. See, we've been talking to Ferenc from Pollo Del Mar, and he's going to be playing. They are going to be playing very soon, momentarily. Yeah. And I don't know who these people are.
They're getting a studio tour. Maybe they paid $100 for their DJ hour, and you're going to be playing some Rafi Surf. Listen,
I've done that.
I want to say a couple of things. I want to give a big thanks to the guys out in the pit setting up right now. I want Jeremy and Jono and Jeff, who have been my buds, and it's been had a lot of gigs, and we've had a lot of fun over the years. It's been great playing with Pollo Del Mar, and you know, it's fun to see you again.
Great to see you too,
Mr. Dirt. I have trouble calling you
Mr.
not
Dirt.
Yeah, Mr. Dirt's fine. Just nod when you say it.
Phil Dirt. So thanks for having us again today, and good luck with the mayhem and the surf. And
thank you. It's great to meet you.
Here's my idea for next mayhem: 31 days of surf.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's enough material.
Yeah, no repeats. All right.
Is that possible? No repeats?
Oh, it's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
In the last 40 years, there have been 10,000 albums released. And no, it's no problem.
Because I did, you know, we do these, what are they called? They're like little breaks from your show, and we can do whatever we want. My first one that I did, it's called Freak Week or something.
Yeah, Freak Week.
And I did a surf one, but I ran out of, because I was so new, I was like 3-4 hour show, and I was trying not to repeat things and trying not to play things off the same album. I was obviously very naive, so if you can do 31 days of surf.
All right, well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's great to see you.
Thank you very much. We're going to wait until you are ready. We're broadcasting from Foothill College. This is KFJC, Los Altos Hills. Big Sunday with Phil Dirt, Ferenc, and Pollo Del Mar. And I'm Pax Humana, but that really doesn't matter.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to play something while we're waiting for Pollo Del Mar. And Phil Dirt is going to tell us about this. He brought in this great compilation. This is from the Preps, I guess. The Vibes one?
Yeah, okay. The Preps were a band in San Jose in the 60s,
okay.
And they used surf guitar in a lot of things they did and recorded some surf instrumentals and the like. They're probably best known for a song called Moon Racers, which Herb Alpert wrote, oddly enough. It took many takes to get it right, but it's a great and very collectible instrumental. But they also, they had a vibes player in the band, and a lot of their instrumentals used vibes as a lead instrument. And this is a song called Elizabeth, which has surf guitar playing rhythm and vibes on lead. It's very cool.
Okay.